Okay, good morning. We are excited, this whole row here and myself, to share a little bit. We've got our youth ready to share this morning, and we're going to share part of their summer. And just to backtrack a little for you, it all started on our end. It started a year and a half ago. Mike and I, the region graciously sent us to Colorado to us. It was a conference for pastors that work with kids and with youth, and we sat at our table, and there was this paper there, and it said, do you want your youth to go to this camp and learn how to like preach a sermon and lead a small group and be in a culture of prayer and prophetic and be open to missions and have teaching on everything that relates to their life? And Mike and I looked at each other, and there was this urgency mixed with excitement, and we thought, like, we need our kids there, and not just our kids, but we need our WCV kids there. And we came back and looked at our packed summer. And I have a former life that some of you don't know about. And I just did a lot of things. And so I looked at my schedule and I was like, I can do this. We're going to be in Kitchener for the national gathering. And I can just grab my teenagers, get on a night train, an Amtrak, and I can land in Pennsylvania and test it out. And so I'm not sure my teenagers were happy, but they were once they got there. But we did it. And then this last year, 10 of us went, and we're going to share a little bit about that. And it was in Pennsylvania, so we're going to have the youth share. But when we think about discipleship, there's a lot of the different things that come to our mind. Like, some of us might have a past where you think, it didn't really work for me. Like, that word is just, you know, I wasn't discipled well, or it feels like pressure, and I don't know. You know, there's others of us might have had an amazing experience, and there's many ways to be discipled. When we look at Scripture, I think Mike's going to have the verse on here. We look at Scripture, and what does Jesus say about discipleship? Well, in Matthew 28, he gathers his 11, and his commissioning words to them is, go, therefore go, and make disciples of all nations. And these words need to matter, right? Those are Jesus' words to us, and they need to matter. And so this morning, my prayer is that we'd be inspired in whatever ways in our life this is going to matter, and maybe there's a change that's going to take place, or just more inspiration. But what sort of discipleship has impact? And that's what we'll explore a bit this morning. And James, are you here, James? James is going to share a little bit with us. Sometimes, you know, pursuing discipleship is work, right? It's not always easy, and it's a stretch to get there. You know, like, I had to jump on an Amtrak in the middle of the night with my two teenagers after a week long of being at a conference. These things aren't always easy, but we press into them. And James, tell us, what was this journey like for you coming to Project Timothy?
Yeah, so me and my wife, Linnell, and the twins, we all packed up and we drove down to Pennsylvania. And so it was, just the idea of even hopping on a plane was a little bit daunting. So we're like, let's drive. We'll take our time getting down. And so we were driving, and we were in Chicago rush hour, and we had come to a complete stop in rush hour, and all of a sudden we get rear-ended four times from behind with the babies in the car, so very nerve-wracking. And make a long story short, the guy had fallen asleep at the wheel, and our car got damaged pretty bad. So our little car got written off with $10,000 worth of damage, but everything worked out. We upgraded into something a little bit bigger with the family, so that worked. But it was intense, and we weren't really sure what this was all about. We were halfway. We're like, should we keep on going? Should we turn back? Is it safe to drive this? But we just felt more at peace with keeping on going. We made sure to check out the car. It was drivable. It was mostly cosmetic damage. But yeah, so it was just felt the need to keep going and obey. So.
That's awesome, James. Okay, so James, tell us a little bit about what happened for you and Linnell. Like, you guys are juggling babies, and you're still there at Project Timothy. And by the way, it's a boot camp. So what they mean by a boot camp is, like, you wake up in the morning, you show up at the church, and you're going hard. What do you call it? I don't know. Hardcore? Is that? I mean, I might be 10 years behind in some of my terms. I tried to get filled in. But you're going for it till like 11 or 12. Like there was one night where Mike and I looked at each other and said, maybe we can get out of going for hot wings. Like, can we go back? Like, we're in our 40s here. This is a little hard. But James, what happened for you guys?
Yeah, it was kind of nuts. But with the babies, we're fortunate to have like a little baby paradise with a really nice nursery and stuff. But besides that, the highlight of the time was probably watching these four and just seeing them really interact with what God was doing, and just seeing like some of the maybe, I know your guys' walls being broken down, you just like interacting with God in a really cool way in worship and praying over others. Like I just had front row seats to that, and it was just like I got shivers watching you guys just meeting God in a cool new way. So
yeah. That's awesome. Thanks, James. Justin, come on up. That's just the joy of being there, seeing how the youth are responding. I echo that, James. So okay, Justin, why don't you explain what happened for you before Project Timothy?
So before we went to Project Timothy, we met up at Joseph's house, and we had to write an essay to get in. And we didn't really know what we were getting into because me, Asher, and Sarah hadn't been there before, but Joseph had. The only real two things I knew about it was that I was in Philadelphia, which actually wasn't true in the end, and that Joseph and Jody went last year, and I was like, I'll try it out. So then we got there, and we started talking about the essay, and there's two questions that were, what is God's call for you, and how do you think Project Timothy will help that? And they asked for an example, and I was like, why not? I'll be an example. And they're like, what is God's call for you? And I said, helping other people, kind of half-guessing then. And then so when we got there, and it was just a very open environment, like, no, there was no judgment. People would just come up and pray for you, like, out of the blue. They'd be like, I got this picture of something, and they would just pray it to you, and then you would kind of just accept it. And sometimes they would, like, really hit home, or sometimes they wouldn't have any meaning, but that was okay. And when I was there, I got a lot of prayer from people that said that you're going to help a lot of people in your life, and that God's really proud of you already, but he wants to push you further in your faith. And I thought that was really cool that those two things kind of connected, even though I was half guessing at first. But then God kind of like confirmed that as I went through the weeks, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, those can be really powerful times, right? Where we're kind of thinking, you know, Justin said in our living room, well, I want to help people. And then just landing in Pennsylvania, and then those are the words that you're getting. Like, we see this in you, and we're going to pray this for you. And those are faith-building moments. That is discipleship happening. Justin, what do you feel like is a takeaway for you? Like, how's your life any different after being away in one way or two?
Well, before we went, it was kind of just like showing up at church every Sunday when I could, just kind of like coming here with my parents. And nothing was really like real for me, I don't think. It was kind of just like part of every Sunday for me. But then once I got there, you could really feel like God's presence in everybody, and everybody was like super feeling the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the people praying for you were like super passionate about what they were doing, kind of like living their life out like for God, and they were like my age, they're like 14 years old, and I was like, whoa. It made me like realize how little I was doing in my life then, so I was like, oh, maybe I should take action in this. And then so it kind of inspired me to do more in my life, and it was kind of like a wake-up call to like make my faith real and make it my own instead of just saying you're a Christian but not really doing anything about it, not really acting out as a Christian.
Justin, we didn't mention that you'd share this, but last night you talked a little bit about you've had already a couple opportunities since Project Timothy, like at school, to share your faith, or was that somewhere else?
Well, I do go to a Christian school, but nobody, like, everybody's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but nobody really acts out their faith and, like, lives it out. So it's kind of been challenging to kind of, like, stand up for what you believe and kind of go against the flow almost, because people will say they're Christians, and then they'll be doing all this other stuff that is, like, I don't know, bad at school. And then, so it's kind of, you have to be lead an example and trying to, like, stand out in the crowd and not just go with what everybody else is doing, because that could lead to other places that you don't want to be in.
Awesome. And I didn't actually introduce, did we miss that first slide? Because Justin, you guys, is, so Ben and Deb are his parents, John and Violet grandparents. So it was a real joy to get to know Justin in kind of a new environment. And we had a lot of fun. Justin actually got us all together because, like, I don't know if anyone's an American here. I love the Americans. I mean, I've gone second year in a row, but they're really intense about their contests. And so Justin gathered. They call us the Canadians, okay? We're not Winnipeggers. We are the Canadians because we're the only Canadians there and about 100 people. And so us little Canadians gathered together. And Justin, is there a picture of the group? He organized a lip sync. There they are. Look at the passion there. And then they're singing O Canada. Okay, they're lip syncing. And then later on, Justin actually made it to the finals. Woo! What were you singing?
So there was a first round, a second round, and then the final. And for the first round, I sang Let It Go from Frozen, or lip-synced it. And then my second song, I did Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. So, yeah, that was, it was fun. No, I'm not.
I think maybe this dance party that we've talked about, we got to do this then. Okay, thank you, Justin. We're going to have the youth later on come up again. Asher. Switch spots here with Justin, and thank you, Justin. There's a real lasting thing going on here, hey? Like, we can see it, you know? So it's not just that there's been a powerful week, and we'll talk a little bit more about what happened before Project Timothy here at WCV for the youth, what happens after. So it's not just about this week. We just happen to be talking about this week. But Asher is Andy and Becky's son. For some of you who don't know, Andy and Becky are pastors here. Woo! And Asher is... If you ever have Asher in your house, everything kind of changes when he shows up, and I love it because suddenly there's just like a little more action happening in the Lupine family household, and we just got the party going. So that happened last night. These youth just showed up after youth, and they, even though they had a progressive supper, that doesn't mean anything when you're 15. Out come the chips and the moth, and it was awesome. So Asher, you're just a joy to be around, but why don't you explain to us what happened for you at Project Timothy?
Well, I would say... with God built a lot, like it became a lot stronger and tightly woven, and also I became a lot more bold and courageous to just go up to people and pray for them and like share what God wants to do with them, and like going to school and sharing that. Yeah.
So what was it, do you think, that allowed you to be courageous in that way?
I would say just being around people filled with the Holy Spirit, like Justin was saying before, like everybody there, you could just see it, like, just like glowing off of them almost. And you could just, that's
contagious, like you don't want to miss out, right?
Yeah.
So you felt that day one, would you say, landing? Like
day one especially, because, well, we barely knew anybody, so it was just like us four there. And so, but everybody else had like friends and everybody knew each other. And so at the beginning, like everybody was super friendly. Like if you just like said hi, then they would make a, like a conversation with you and try to be your friend.
What would you say, Asher, that's like stuck with you? Like something that you're still thinking about, you know, maybe it's an action step that you've taken that's new since Project Timothy.
I don't really know. Maybe just like, especially during worship, like I feel a lot more of his presence now, because before you just used to go there and I'd barely, you wouldn't really sing much and then nothing would happen and you just wait till the youth group started. But now, like, if you really concentrate on the words and stuff, now you can really feel his presence around you, and yeah, that's what.
But there's a step on your part, right? Like, hey, I'm going to be engaged and actually step out. Asher, you mentioned me and Jesus time. Can you just share what happened at Project Timothy? A lot of people don't even know that there's a structure to the day, right? That, can you share a little bit about that?
Okay, yeah. So usually in the mornings, like first we would have breakfast and then we'd have like worship for like an hour and then somebody would share. And then for like an hour, you just go out, be by yourself, read your Bible or pray. And you just have yourself alone, and you could talk to Jesus and just have a conversation with him. And so, yeah, that was really, like, I don't know. I just felt like I needed to go out and do something more in the community. Mm. Yeah. That's
after,
what I got from that.
After Project Timothy?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's inspiring, hey, to us. I think these youth, one thing I noticed, we stayed an extra night. Asher had to come home for soccer, but we stayed an extra night, and the boys were a little later. And do you guys mind me sharing why you were later? They were later for breakfast, and they came down, and they're like, yeah, we just had our Me and Jesus time. And I'm like, that is so inspiring, right? Like, when these 14, 15-year-olds are connecting, they're encountering Jesus in a powerful way, and they want more, they're hungry, right? That is inspiring for us. Asher, anything else you want to share?
I don't really know. I would say, like, if you're introducing someone to God, don't talk about, like just introduce them and say that he wants a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just introduce them to that first. And then once they build up the relationship, then you could start doing other things. Like, this is, like, if you're trying to disciple someone, which a lot of it was about, like, almost all of the teachings were about discipleship and leading other people to Christ. Mm. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So relationship, hey? Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, Asher, we're going to switch spots with Joseph. Really mixing up my own kids. And, yeah, just stay here. The youth are going to all, they're going to be our prayer team this morning, too. So Joseph is my kid. He's my second oldest. Woo! And Joseph is a trooper, because this was his second year at Project Timothy, and again, my former life kind of creeped into my summer plans this past year, and Joseph's like, you know, he really waited his whole life to do this river trip. It's on the Blood Vein River. Anyone ever done that? Seriously? Oh, yeah, Ben. Anyone else? Wow. Okay. Amazing. Awesome. Okay, so Joseph did it for 2.5 weeks, total bush. I don't know. Like, were you exhausted after?
Yeah, it's kind of intense. Yeah. We're usually on the river for, like, 8 hours a day canoeing. We're, like, with portaging, because it's a river trip, so there's rapids. So you have to portage over that, canoe. Usually get to, like 10 or, like, no, not 10, 9, 30. It's, like, almost dark. There's a lot of mosquitoes. It's crazy.
Like blankets of mosquitoes, he said. So anyway, I'm like, hey, he can do that. And then I'll just take him to Project Timothy right after. So basically, Joseph landed from the river trip. And the next day, we're on the plane. And how was that for you, Joe?
I was tired. Yeah, I mean, like the first 2 days, I slept a lot of Project Timothy.
I didn't know that.
I missed a couple of sermons, but it's all good.
It's all good. Okay, well, Joseph, so I was really proud of you that you did that. And why don't you explain, what was a highlight for you? So you've been there 2 years. What would you say is something that really struck you this year? Year?
Well, it was, like, really crazy how much, like, they're, like, kids my age, but their faith and trust in God were kind of insane. Like, I don't know, my leader came up to me the day for my second year, and he was like, so what Bible have you been reading? Like, it was like how we started conversations. Like, I was like, not really at all. It was kind of like, I don't know, I felt like I should have been reading the Bible, so I could have given him a better answer. But
like, he was a leader you knew from the year before?
Yeah.
And he came up to you and said, what Bible have you been reading?
Yeah, like, you read any good Bible lately?
Love it, love it. This is the environment.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, you talked about being amazed by people your own age. I think Mike has a picture there of just the young people responding in worship. And I got to tell you, from my perspective, this undoes me. Like, this wrecked me. Like, I came home in a good way. Like, you just like, this is all that matters. You know, like, this generation is just, they're encountering Jesus, and they're going to do it even when I'm not here anymore. But, Joe, what happened for you there? Like, you see that picture? Remember that?
Yeah.
A lot of it was like, you know, if you feel like God's telling you to do something, that you should probably do it because it's God. Like, yeah. No, honestly though, like, it could be anything. Like, just let God do it, like, through you, yeah. It sounds pretty easy, but it's really important.
You also talked, Joseph, about trust. Your trust in God deepened. Can you say a little about that?
I don't know, more of what I was just saying. Like, God knows what's best for you, so, yeah.
It's great, Joseph. Thanks so much for sharing. We'll swap with your sister.
I actually have something to say about if God tells you to do something, that you should just, like, go ahead and do it. There's this story that, I don't know who shared it, but, like...
She's a public speaker. She doesn't need an introduction.
There was this girl, and she was driving in her car, and she felt like God was nudging her to, like, go to the nearest gas station and do a handstand on, like, near, like... leaning on one of, like, the poles, and she went and did that, and the guy inside of the gas station just, like, started crying because he had, like, made this deal with God. He's like, God, if you're real, let someone, like, come over there and do a handstand by that thing. I was like, such an amazing story. And so, like, if God's telling you to do something, no matter how stupid it is, it'll probably, like, I don't know, be awesome.
That is amazing. So that was someone at Project Timothy that was, or maybe a speaker?
The speaker talked about it. I don't know if it was them personally, but that happened to somebody in life.
That's incredible. Okay, so we can be inspired to do handstands. No, but like what Joseph was saying, like, be listening to God, right? Like, Joseph, you mentioned, like, last night, I don't know if you said it this morning, but letting the Lord take the wheel, right? Like, let him be in the driver's seat and however that's going to look in your life. Sarah, you talked about the teaching at Project Timothy. Can you fill us in a little about that?
Like, I was kind of talking about, like, the people's lives. Like, I don't remember everything about their lives, but they were talking about it. But one guy, he got discipled by this person. So basically what happened is, like, they asked him, well, the guy asked him if him, like, once, like, a week or something to, like, show him his family, show him his life, show him how he lived. And then that's called discipleship. So, like, when he thought he was ready, he was like, okay, now you go and make disciples. And so he's made, like, 30 disciples or something with, like, yeah, different
the
men.
The guy that came to this leader's house for dinner has gone then, after being discipled, he's gone out and discipled 30. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, my explanation's kind of confusing.
No, that's awesome.
This guy. Okay. And, like, I don't know, Christian Dunn, who is kind of running Project Timothy,
that's
sort
Christian.
Of. That's Christian. Okay, anyway. He wanted to, like, minister to people all over the United States, and I just think it's kind of amazing how he's even, like, ministered to youth in Canada. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And,
Okay, so Sarah, yeah, a little piece on Christian. Really neat guy. Some of you might have met him at the Global. I don't know if anyone was in Ohio, but just a real heart for teens. And he said when Mike and I met him a year and a half ago in Colorado, you know, he kind of thought youth ministry would be a stepping stone. And then he's like, oh my goodness, I've fallen in love with them. And I can't stop working with teenagers. And so this is his heart. He loves and breathes teenagers and wants to see this generation just, you know, responding to God in a powerful way. Okay, Sarah, any takeaways for you? Like, you know, what has inspired you to maybe live a different way or just, you know, takeaway for you since Project Timothy?
Well, like what I was saying before, it's mostly the people that I've seen, like, who have, like, a real relationship with God, and the people who just, like, live it out every day.
Yeah. You know? Seeing their lives, and we're going to come to the scripture on that in a minute. So, Sarah, that's awesome. I'm going to get you to switch with your dad. I'm going to have Mike come up.
I'll just keep on talking until he's ready. There's also this girl, and she, like, did, like, when she was, like, 14, she did, like, me and Jesus time, like, an hour every day after school. And, like, even when she didn't even feel like Jesus was there, she just kept on doing it. And, like, I don't know.
It's a perseverance.
Seeing the lives, right? Like, mm-hmm. Hearing the stories, hearing their lives, that's discipleship, hey?
And, like, there was this one girl who grew up in, like, a Buddhist family. And, like, I guess in her experience, like, they don't really apologize for anything. They don't really say sorry. They kind of just move on. That was, like, really hard for her. I don't really know the rest of her story, but.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah. And Mike?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Woo! And, yeah, well, sure. I'm going to ask Mike. So, Mike, yeah, we were, like, you know, the oldies at this thing. There's a few of us there. But nevertheless, you know, it's inspiring us. It's inspired us, and we felt changed during that week. Mike, why don't you describe a little of how that impacted you?
Yeah, I actually want to talk about just watching the other leaders lead, which was inspiring for me because I get to be a leader sometimes. Oh, we'll actually start with this guy. I don't know if anybody recognizes this face. But I guess he's coming. This is the guy coming back here next week. This is the guy who planted our church, and we Skyped him in for a session there. So there's Dave, really big, with a really big head, actually, and talking to us. I've known Dave for years, so I just wanted to point out that he came. But I want to talk about some of the other leaders who I had a chance to watch, you know, pretty intensely. This one guy here really blew me away because at one point he was doing a talk about small groups. And then he said, okay, I've talked about small groups. Now y'all get in your small groups. And they looked at him kind of blankly. He's got about, how many kids was it?
Well, he had five of his own.
No, like in the thing.
Oh, there's 80 teens. There
was 80 teens.
Turns, it's 120.
Yeah, there's 120 kids looking at him kind of like, what do you mean? And he's like, don't you guys have groups? And they're like, not yet. And so for the next half an hour, it was absolute bedlam, as no one had made the small groups, and he's got to create groups on the spot with 120 teens. He's got to have different regions represent, like, it's a kind of cross-section of regions in each team. The small groups are five, and he's got to have different years. He's got, like, at this point in their program, they've got 4 years, first year, second year, third year, and intern, and so he's got to have a mix of that. And it was chaos as kids are yelling, we only have three in our group, and he's missing half of it, so I'm coming up and trying, and that group you missed. And what amazed me about this was that if I was in his position, I would be so mad because there's no need for this chaos if somebody just makes the groups ahead of time. Somebody didn't do their job. And as I've been teaching sort of like how to read body language and facial recognition for about 5 years, so I've had some practice with this. I was watching him, and not even for a second was there a flicker of confusion or disappointment or I'm not. He was like the hills. You guys are like that up there too. Like if we ever change the game on any hills that are working on, they're just like no problem. You just kind of roll with it because they've been working in LBE and they can do it all. And I saw that on him. And here's a guy who it's not his job. Only kids leaders can come, he does his job entirely for free. His church is too small to pay him anything. And he's taken his week of holidays and just so gracious. And his response to finding out that there was no groups and somebody else has said, you have to make them now. He's like, no problem. And he just went right into it. So I was blown away by that. And, oh, I didn't show him. That was him. And this guy, too, Jeff Bigger, was amazing, too. But, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, spinning off of what Mike's saying and what we're hearing from the youth, it's seeing the lives of people. And what the youth have experienced is really not unlike how what Timothy experienced with Paul. And we're going to close by looking at the scripture where Paul says, you know, he writes in his second letter to Timothy, he says, you know my life. You know what I teach and what my purpose in life is. You know what I teach, how I live, and what my purpose in life is. And you know, so here's Paul. He's pouring into Timothy. And not only that, he himself was discipled. He says he went to go see Peter to spend time with him, to become acquainted with him for 15 days. So it doesn't have to be a long thing. Can be through several people. Again, Paul talks about later on in Galatians 2:2, he went to Jerusalem to seek out those who seem to be leaders. Right? So we see Paul pouring into Timothy, so much so that's intense, that Timothy would know what he teaches. He would know how he lives and what his purpose in life is. And that's what our youth saw at Project Timothy. That's what Mike and I, James and Linnell, like, we were just immersed in this, right? You can't help but be changed. Not only Project Timothy, but here at WCV, I asked the youth before we left for Project Timothy, I said, what do you guys like? Like these four specifically, as we were getting ready, I said, what do you guys like about youth? And, you know, they didn't mention, I mean, they might have said a couple activities, but it wasn't the big deal. The big deal was the people. They said, well, we love James. We love how we connect with him. And they gave me permission last night to share this. You know, we love Nathan, when he sat in the middle of our youth time and said, ask me anything you want, right? What I teach, how I live, what my purpose in life is. They said, we love Jason Ehler and how we connect with him and the love he gives us. We love Suhail and how he's really mentored us in the prayer and just, you know, jumping into Main Street and just praying for people. We love that. And that's Paul with Timothy, right? That is discipleship that has impact. That's being around people, knowing what they teach, how they live, and what their purpose in life is. And I feel like for this morning, you know, some of us might be going, well, I'm not a teen, I'm not a youth leader, I wasn't at Project Timothy, and what does this mean for me? But my prayer and my hope is that we'll be inspired in some way to go, well, how am I being like Paul? How am I shaping a Timothy right now? Like, are there people in my life that know how I live, that know what I teach, that know what my purpose in life is? Because that's the discipleship that has impact, right? That's what we're pulling out from the youth that's been life transforming for them. And this is a pretty big deal because these are our leaders, right? Like when, you know, like what we're passing on the baton. I think I have a PowerPoint of that. And then we see the other picture of, you know, Paul didn't forget himself and his own need for that, right? Like, he's hanging out with Peter. Imagine what those 15 days were like. I bet you that changed his life. I bet you it changed the course of his ministry. And then seeking out those that seem to be leaders, you know. Maybe that's going to look like, be intentional about who are you having coffee with. Like, can you emulate their lifestyle? Is this somebody you want to imitate? You know, and then who are you reaching out to? Like, who's your Timothy? And so we are excited to pray this morning. Like, let's not lose this opportunity. Let's hear this invitation of some of us are maybe feeling an inkling, you know, a desire. I'd like to be discipled, you know. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't have to be one person. But I wanna be around somebody who I can imitate a bit more. Others might feel like, do we have time for this? It's a little bit, do I have time for this? But, I mean, it's not always easy, right? Like, James and Linnell could have stayed home, right? 2 8-month-old baby twins, that's enough to stop anybody. But they did it, you know, car crash, everything, and they're pushing in and pressing in. And lastly, some of us maybe feel like, I don't really have much to give. Right? I'm sure Paul would have felt that. Like, hey, he was killing Christians, you know? How can he suddenly mentor people? But it's the Holy Spirit in us, right? And it's what the youth talked about. It's Jesus, it's seeing Jesus in people, and he changes us. And we do have stuff to give. So, Mike, why don't we just move into ministry time and give some time.
I'm going to say what you just said in totally different words. Really briefly. But sometimes you need to hear it twice. You know, one of the things that, of course, I hope you gathered, our youth kind of got there and they kind of caught the fire, right? There was people there who inspired them and they became more like them. And if you want to get discipled by any of these youth, you can come and talk to them, should you want that. But what they're, they're kind of, Sarah has this look like, what? So they may actually say no, it's possible. But what they have said yes to is they're willing to pray for you right now. And that's another way in which we can kind of pass on our faith. It's just prayer right now. And if you've been here at all, you know that we love to do that. We're going to do that on Saturday. We'll do it right now. If you're interested in prayer for anything, feel free to come on up. And Paul and Sherry and Blair are gonna kick it off a little bit. And we're gonna pray. Can I start with kind of something global? Okay. Yeah. So are you folks okay with standing up? It allows you to shift your body, move a little bit, get ready to receive a little bit. And if people do want to come up, it makes it sort of like a little less obvious. Sometimes people aren't as obvious. The youth are already here, ready to pray at any time. And so is Jason Ehler. He's coming to get prayer. So feel free to come on up. Whether or not you come up, if you're comfortable with it, put your hands out like this. It's a kind of a posture of just receiving from the Lord. And it's something we do here a lot. And some of you are going to come up and you're going to ask specifically for the same flame that the youth have gotten from others. That is awesome. And others of you are going to just receive a piece of that now. So if you're just standing where you are and you're comfortable with it, I know, well, you know, as we said Wednesday night in Project Timothy, at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot more that we want from the Lord. We want this thing. We're not sure even what it's called. It could be passion. It could be fire. It could simply be the presence of God. But the thing about the presence of God is when He comes, He satisfies every need. All of those aches, all that confusion, all that uncertainty, all that lack of direction, He satisfies it all. So you've got your hands out. We're going to just go right into a posture of openness right now. Okay. And we're going to ask the Lord to come. Lord, just ask that You would come, God. That You would come. There's a little bit of a myth that God is the God of the old. There's a myth that the God is the God of the young. Lord, You are the God of all of Your children. Lord, so, Holy Spirit, we ask that You come. Lord, You are so precious to us. You are so wonderful. Ask that Your fire fall down. Some of you have been inspired by the words of the youth today. Some of you have been inspired by the images. I'm going to offer an image. So if you're comfortable with it, imagine yourself in the throne room of God. There it is, every tongue, every tribe, and every nation spread out before You. You look across and the numbers are vast. There are innumerable people. And you're noticing something's happening that reminds you of a verse in Philippians. Every single knee is bowing to the ground. And every single tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And even as that takes place, you're reminded that very same passage, there's an explanation as to why every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as you look forward in front of you, you notice that there's lightning, flashes and peals of thunder. And high up on a throne, And it's strange because while it seems so high up and so far away, it seems at the same time it is so close to you, you could reach out and touch it. It's in the air you breathe. You see a lamb looking as though it was slain. And while that lamb looks entirely dead, the lamb has life in its eyes. Turns and looks deeply into your own. And in that moment, as you look deeply into those lamb's eyes, you feel something touching you, going deep to your core, going deep down, animating your very being.